I was a child, my mother used to say, is this a feedback on here? No? Is it?
I'm going to get a little closer to you.
And, and so when I accepted this invitation, my ambition was greater than what I thought it was going to be at this time. So pray, as that my older folks used to say, pray my strength in the Lord. Amen, amen. Not as strong as I thought I was, but I serve a faithful God, and you folks I know are praying people. So we're going to get through where the Lord has sent us this morning. I have a message here that culminated from one of my devotionals back in May. And I just believe that if we can catch on to this, especially with the young people, we can change the world. I just believe that so deeply in my heart. If we can just catch this picture, and run with it, and encourage each other to run with it, I believe the world will be a better world because we, as Christians, live in it. So, Father, we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you take what you have given to me and make it simple, make it plain, so that this world of yours that you love so much will just become just overwhelmed with your great love, compassion, and mercy, and that your people that are called by your name will understand that it's we that change the world, it's we that make the world great, we that are called by the name of Jesus the Christ. Holy Spirit, have your will and have your way. Release your power, your supernatural anointing right now, so that what is brought forth will have tremendous meaning, and it is accepted as truth by your word. We pray and receive it by faith in Christ Jesus' name, and all of us who are God's people said, amen. Amen. The title of the message is God's Calling, and we can put in parentheses, God's plan for you is a sure thing. It's a sure thing. And we're going to be going to different scriptures, and I'm going to read the scriptures and just believe that it's going to resonate with us this morning. And it's nothing new. You've heard it before. And sometimes we just have to hear something over and over again for it to really, really take hold and fly. It's my strong belief that when we know without a doubt that we are here on this earth for a divine and a holy purpose and plan that has been orchestrated by Almighty God on our behalf, our thinking changes, and the way that we see things change, and we begin to not concentrate so much on ourselves, but identifying what that purpose and plan is. And so we have a new focus, a new attention span, I should say. And so we'll pay less attention to our individual selves, and we'll want to seek out this divine purpose as to why I'm here and why I was created in the first place and why I act like I act. The world then will become a better place for all of us. And once we understand that we are here on this earth strictly to serve others, not ourselves, and to have a focus and a mentality like Jesus, who said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so I just believe that when all of this comes around to us individually, especially for the young folks, because I can remember when I was young, I had no idea that there was a plan for my life. Yeah. So I made all kinds of simple mistakes and trying to find something with meaning that I could hold on to it. But if we can get this deep down on the inside of us now, to know that I am divinely and uniquely made in the image of God for his purpose that he ordained for me, then each and every day we wake up and saying, what is it? Where is it? How is it? And that's the way we live, and the world becomes better. Yeah. It's God who decides how each one of us are to serve. We don't make that decision. Therefore, it's God who equips us to serve, and he gives each and every one of us what we need in order to live out that plan and purpose for our lives. That's good news. And I do believe that many, many people would not make the choices and decisions that they make if they had this down in their hearts and minds. That there's a purpose in this life for me. I fit in. I have something to contribute to make this world better. So what we're going to do this morning is to look at four distinct biblical characters, and we're going to see how God planned their lives and how they were chosen to serve. And one thing we do know, that God is no respecter of person. What he does for one, he'll do it for the other. So that's how we're going to approach these scriptures this morning. And we're going to say in our hearts and mind, if he did it for them, I can count on it, he would do it for me. Amen. Amen. So the first scripture that we're going to look at this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to be looking at David. Chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? God had removed Saul. Since I have rejected him as king over Israel, the Lord said to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate or select. Samuel did what the Lord said. And when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they saw and met him. And they asked, do you come in peace? And Samuel replied, yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. He said, consecrate yourselves, set yourselves aside, and come to the sacrifice with me. Then Samuel, listen to this, consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord anointed him, and thought, he's got to be the one. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shema pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? He said, they're still the youngest one, and he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said to Samuel, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. From those scriptures, we see that it was God who had decided that it was going to be David. God chose David over all of his seven brothers. It's God who does the choosing. Jesse, David's father, had not even considered him. He wasn't even invited. But God said, I have planned for David. And therefore, David is the one to be king. God sets the schedule. David was anointed to be king when he was a teenager, but he didn't take the throne until he was 30. So that required patience and commitment on David's part. And so we see that if God planned David's life, why wouldn't he plan yours? Why wouldn't he plan mine? Why wouldn't he decide how we are to serve? So from these scriptures, I learned that it does not matter where you are in life right now. It really does not matter, because David was a shepherd. And as I did research, I found that a shepherd word was not considered anything. A shepherd couldn't even testify in court on his own behalf. A shepherd was considered of no value, no respect, unreliable. And I can imagine that David, as a shepherd boy, expand my imagination for a while, he would walk down the street and they said, there goes that old shepherd boy. His word don't mean nothing. He can't even testify in court on his own behalf. His word is just nothing. He's nobody. And even after he killed Goliath, they probably still said, you know, that's David, that old shepherd boy that killed Goliath. But listen to the clinker of all of that. Whenever a person invite God into their lives by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God cancels the liabilities of our past and rewrite our future. Amen. And if that ain't good news, you tell me what it is. David, that old shepherd boy, his word didn't mean a thing, count for nothing. Now God says, David, your future is in my hand. Yeah. And I have decided that you are going to be king over Israel. In other words, he went from being a shepherd to being a king. And the same thing can happen to us. God said about David, I have found a man that will do all of my will and do all that I say. So it doesn't matter where we are in life right now, church. Put your life in your hand, in God's hand. And he already has planned your life. He's already chosen you for a particular service. That's good news. That is good, good news. I know when I accepted the Lord and found out that my path had nothing to do with my future, total freedom. Total freedom. People would come up and say, well, I knew you when, and I say, oh, yes, I do too, but thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. That ain't who I am now. That's who I was at one time. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saith Jeremiah. Listen to these words. The Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before you were born, I appointed you or anointed you to be prophet to the nations. Listen to that. In other words, the Lord said, I knew you He said, I was intimate with your innermost being. I had knowledge of who you were going to be because I made you. Before you were conceived, God said, this is who you are. Think about that. Before he even took a breath, God had said, I have anointed you and made you a prophet to all the nations. In other words, I have carved out your life before you were conceived. If that's not powerful, tell me what it is. He said, I set you apart. I have made you, I have fixed you, and I have designed you to be the one to pull down and to pluck up and to destroy and to be the prophet for all nations. God has made you just like you are for a purpose. Your funny ways, it's necessary because of how he has designed and purposed your life. Some places you're not going to be comfortable in, and some people you're not going to be comfortable around, because God said, I have set you apart and I have consecrated you for this divine calling. And he said, I knew you, intimate with you, and therefore I have made you who you are to be. Yes, we go through life, and life piles a whole lot of stuff on who we are, basically. But the more we come to the Lord, and the more we are obedient to God's word, those layers come off and off and off. And that person that we were originally designed to be just starts emerging. I look at my own life, and who would have thought that little girl from Hunter's Court would be where she is today? Only because of Jesus and his divine plan and saying, this is who I have called you to be. Yes, I tried to be everything else that I thought everybody else would be pleased with, that everybody else would accept and like me, but none of that panned out. So God told Jeremiah, before you were formed, I knew you. And if God knew Jeremiah before he was conceived, what about you? What about me? Do God not care as much about you and myself as he does David and Jeremiah? I think not. I think not. So what I say to us this morning, just be yourself. Don't copy. Don't try to be anybody else. Because God has custom-made you for himself and made you a unique individual person for the individual unique plan and purpose that he has for your life. God ordained us before we too were formed in our mother's womb. Each of us have been called, so we don't have to try to be anything but who we are. And let God just take the layers of crud that have accumulated on us off. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to look at the life of Mary just briefly. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town called Galilee. And he sent this angel to a virgin who had been pledged to be married to Joseph. The virgin's name, as we said, was Mary. Angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, "What kind of a greeting is this?" But the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. Mary said, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered Mary, said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6 months. For no word from God will ever fail." Listen to what Mary said. She said, "I am the Lord's servant." That's what he wants to hear from us, that I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. So Mary said, "May your word to me be fulfilled." May your word to me be fulfilled. And the word of God to us today is, "I have already planned your life. Consult me, follow me, and live out the plan that I have for your life." Mary, the angel came looking for Mary. Angel come looking for us, wherever we are, and saying, "Yield, yield. There is a great plan for your life." Some of us might be stuck and say, "There's no plan for my life. What do I have to offer?" You have every spiritual gift and everything other thing that you need to live the life that God has planned already for your life. We look at Jesus, John chapter 3, verse 16, which we all know. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life." John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Amen. What does abundantly mean? Simply overflowing. Overflowing. Our lives are to be filled with joy and overflowing abundance. Jesus said, "I come to stop what the thief wants to do for you. He wants to steal your dreams, your determination, your aspirations, your inspirations. He wants to steal the fact that you are somebody and that God has already planned your life. He wants to steal that kind of knowledge from us. But Jesus said, "I have come to give you life, and it's overflowing, it's running over." God loved the world so deeply that he gave his only begotten Son. So what is it for us today, this morning? You say, yes, we looked at these biblical characters, but what about us? What do I hang on to? Well, I got some scriptures for us. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plan that I have for you." The Lord declares this. He says, "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We're in God's heart and mind. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that lasts or prevails." Isaiah 46:10 says, the Lord said, "I make known the end from the beginning, and from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, and from a far-off land I summon a person to fulfill my purpose. God says, what I have said, that I will bring about, and what I have planned, that I will do. Yeah. Philippians 1:6 says, "Be confident of this one thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God's calling and purpose for each one of our lives are irrevocable. They don't have no expiration date. God has a unique call and purpose, plan, and a destiny for each and every person on earth. We each have been given the gifts needed to fulfill our calling, according to Romans 12. So we are to live and work in harmony and love one another and care about each other, respect each other, be kind to each other. In closing, if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, you'll never find the purpose for your life. And you'll wonder and you'll roam. And you'll roam and you'll wonder. Practice the lifestyle of a Jesus follower. Love and serve one another. Be kind to each other. The world is so full of hatred. The church is the one to build each other up. We are not to tear down anybody. We are to lift each other up and think more highly of others than we do ourselves. Amen. Then we are to praise God that he thought enough of us to plan our lives. And if we have any sense about us, we will want to know that plan and want to follow it. Yes. He's the creator and the sustainer of the entire universe, but he looked down on little old us and said, I'm going to let you fit into my overall plan, and I'm going to make your life have significance and importance. Think about it. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you have Christ in your life, you got the Holy Spirit. When you get up in the morning, say, okay, Lord, you got my life planned out. How do I serve today? Who do you have out here for me to serve today? Look for somebody to serve. Try to do good every day to somebody. If it's nothing but holding a door for somebody,
amen,
tell them that's my good deed for today. Live the life. Live the life. Because we are the ones. Everybody else talk about make America great. No, we're going to make America great when we love each other.
Amen.
When we let go of all of our biases and all of our prejudices. And then become one as the body of Christ. That's making America great.
Amen.
That's changing South Carolina. It's when we can come together and people say, well, ain't nowhere in the world they can all get along like that. And Jesus said, you know that they are my disciples by their love, one for another.
Amen.
Are we loving each other? Are we committed to love each other? Are we going to live this plan out and not stop just dilly and dallying around? It's time to get busy and say, we're the church that love each other. We love people out here. And then we'll see South Carolina change. Then as you young people move out into other areas of the world, then you'll take that love with you, and then they'll see Jesus. And then they'll want Jesus. Just remember that the plan that he has for you before you were conceived, it's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. Don't let nobody doubt it. Don't let nobody put you down. And don't you put anybody down.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we bless you. And I thank you that you have shown us that if we just follow the plan, and it begins with overall service one to another. Love one for another. And if there's anybody here this morning have not said, Jesus, save me, do it now. Do it now. Ask him to come into your heart and surrender. And stop just searching, searching, searching. And say, I'm following your plan because I know you got it for me. And Lord, we bless you and we thank you that out of this area comes the love of Christ prevailing for the sake of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen.
Amen.
Praise him.